Father, we thank you for the resurrection and all that it means. Father, I do pray you inspire this time by your presence and your spirit. Amen. So a few weeks ago, I went to my cousin's house for a meal, and she's called Claire, and she's married to a guy called Simon. Simon is a bit of a comedian. And to be fair, he is rather funny. And so we're sitting there, it's starting to go, dusk is arriving, so he closed the curtains, and he doesn't just close them, there's a bit of a drama behind it. And then we move to the back of the house, and he goes to close the curtains again. I should have told you that he's a window cleaner, and he cleans some of his neighbours' homes. So he's about to close the curtains at the back of the house. He says, "We're having steak tonight. I better close the curtains. I don't want to see the neighbours seeing us eating steak in case they think I'm charging them too much." I think it was Aldi steak, but I didn't comment. But why do we use curtains? Well, they act as a barrier, don't they? They divide, they separate. And they're not a new concept, are they? They've been around for thousands of years. They were in the temple in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus Christ. That central to the temple would be the Holy of Holies, or as some Bibles describe it, the most holy place. And that is the place where God's presence was felt to be. So in that place, you'd have the Ark of the Covenant. So in that place, you'd have the tablets of stone given to Moses. And this place was separated from the rest of the temple by curtains. Not ordinary curtains. One commentator says, as thick as a man's hand. Another 4 inches thick. Access to this place was denied to the likes of you and me. Only the high priest could enter once a year. At the time of Jesus' crucifixion, we read this in Matthew and then Mark and then Luke. So Matthew says, Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, and he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Mark says something very similar. And then in Luke we read, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. At the precise moment of Jesus' death, at the exact moment of Jesus' death, the curtains are torn in two. What is God trying to communicate to us through this? Through the gospel writers, who are all keen to talk about it. He is communicating that we now have access to God. He is communicating that what separated us from God has been taken away, I believe. What separates us from God?
Sin.
Any act of disobedience, chief amongst them idolatry, the act of putting our will before God's will, which many of us struggle with, all sins, all separate us from God. So at the precise moment of the death of Jesus, it's been dealt with. John says in his gospel, the last words of Jesus Christ, it is finished. Job done. I have completed my mission. Something prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. Just a small extract from him. But he says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Jesus has dealt with my sins so that I might have peace with God, so that I might have access to God. Died for your sins too. He died for every one of us. He would have died just for your sins. His motivation, it's remarkable, isn't it? The love of God in Jesus Christ for each one of us. It's eternal. It's without condition. Well, I've said something about Friday. I want to say something about Sunday. So some ladies go to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. They're not, in my opinion, expecting to see Jesus alive. It was a tradition to anoint dead bodies with herbs and fragrances. In one version, they meet a young man, probably an angel, who says, "You're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here." Death could not hold Jesus Christ. And thanks to Jesus Christ, it can't hold you either. Paul writes in Corinthians, "O death, where then your victory? Where then your sting? For sin, the sting that causes death, will all be gone." How we thank God for all of this. It is He who makes us victorious through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Jesus Christ, we can be victorious over death. We can follow in His footsteps, in dying, rising to everlasting life. We know, don't we? We all know that there are consequences to sin. We see it in our everyday lives. We see it in others. We see it in the man who loves to make money, but all his wife and children want is quality time. We see it in the smoker who loses a leg through amputation. We see it in the person who is consumed by unforgiveness and now is just ruled by bitterness. We see it all around us. But the ultimate consequence of sin is death. God declared to Adam and Eve in the garden after they sinned, "And you will die." Paul in the book of Romans says the wages of sin is death. But death has lost its sting. And so Paul is able to write, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I think I just want to make this other point, which I think is utterly remarkable as well, is that through the cross, Jesus presents you to the Father as holy and righteous. That's why we have access to God, because we can't if we're sinful. At the cross, my sin is seen as belonging to Jesus Christ, and He pays the punishment for it. At the cross, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is seen as belonging to me. And so the author of Hebrews is able to write, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." Through this act of sacrificial love, Jesus has made a way for us to be forgiven our sins, a way for us to overcome death, a way for us to be made holy and acceptable, to be in the presence of God forever. So what will you do with the sin that separates us from God, from you from God? You know, we are all going to stand before God for judgment. You have no choice in that matter. You have a choice in this. Will you take your sin to the cross and let Jesus pay for the penalty? Or will you pay the consequences for your own sins? That choice is yours. I encourage anybody here today who has not turned their life over to Jesus Christ to repent of your sin and from this day forward to look to live in obedience to Jesus Christ. That's what repentance looks like. And for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have so much to be grateful for, don't we? Let's demonstrate how grateful we are by living a life submitted to the Father, submitted to His will, not our will. Let us look to live for the glory and the honor of God Almighty. Amen.